Good morning. This is Carol Steckler, and this is KLOILP, Lopez Island, Washington, 102.9 FM. And we're here on Thursday morning talking trash again. I'm going to play a little bit of our Pete Seeger music. I think Bill Steele was the author of this one, and it's certainly appropriate for the subject and for the Lopez dump. Talking trash.
Mr. Thompson calls the waiter, orders steak and baked potato. He leaves the bone and gristle, and he never eats the skin. The busboy comes and takes it, with a cough contaminates it. He puts it in a can with coffee grounds and sardine tins. And the truck comes by on Friday, carts it all away. 1,000 trucks just like it are converging on the bay. Oh, garbage, 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 garbage. We're filling up the seas with garbage. Garbage, garbage, garbage. What will we do when there's no place left to put all the garbage? Garbage, garbage, garbage. Mr. Thompson starts his Cadillac and winds it down the freeway track, leaving friends and neighbors in a hydrocarbon haze. He's joined by...
Oop. Well, okay. I pushed that one really quickly. Well, we're fortunate to have in our studio today Sarah Eppenbach, who's involved with... a separate organization than the managing directors, which is another board. And the organization Sarah's involved in is, the acronym is SWAP. I'm going to let her talk about that. But first, I'm going to find out how she got involved in all of this. And then we're going to hear about this nonprofit called SWAP, S-W-A-P, and we'll leave it a mystery what that stands for right now. Good morning, Sarah. How are you today?
Good morning, Carol. Just very well, thank you on this beautiful
morning. Oops, you know what? I didn't have you on. So let me try that again. So how are you today, Sarah?
Just very well on this beautiful morning. Eager to be talking trash with you this morning here on Lopez.
Yep, yep. Well, Sarah, how and when did you get involved in this?
Well, I think, Carol, I would answer that, like virtually everyone else on Lopez, I just got swept along with the tide. I've always been very interested in the concept of recycling and do my best at that personally, although believe me, there are people on this island, and I think you interviewed one last week in particular, who are so outstanding in that field that most of the rest of us have a lot to learn. But we've always been tremendous supporters of the dump, huge fans of Neil and the work that he's done there and the vision that he's had. And so when the county began to talk about the notion of withdrawing from operating the service, we all sat up and began to listen. And many people began spending hours thinking about what that could mean from Lopez, investigating different possible routes. I wasn't very much involved except on the sidelines because my husband Larry was one of the people who early on began collecting information and doing studies and talking with different people and putting together proposals of how Lopez could, in fact, maintain the sort of operation that everyone would like here.
So you were just an involved, what should we say, citizen, resident, when the beginning conversations happened and you didn't have a specific arena. You were just part of the general...
That's correct. And in fact, this organization that I am now very much involved with, SWAP, which stands for Solid Waste Alternatives Program, okay, was founded as a nonprofit organization in December of 2011. This was during the period when the many conversations were going on about what the entity on Lopez was going to look like. Mm-hmm. And the original members of the SWAP board of directors, there were three, were Sandy Bishop and Ed Sturr and Larry Eppenbach, mm-hmm. my husband. And at that time, the SWAP activities ranged from involvement in research and collecting information, ultimately to petitioning. You remember the phase we went through when we were gathering signatures to petition the county council to allow us to establish our own district. SWAP volunteers were very much involved in circulating that petition. But I got a little bit ahead of my story. SWAP was chartered originally, and its bylaws were written in such a way that the organization could step in and become the operating entity should that be necessary, or should that be determined to be the best route for Lopez. Uh-huh. And that turned out not to be the case as we ultimately formed the disposal district. Once that district was formed and there was then a separate managing board, SWAP then segued into a support organization, uh-huh. very much equivalent to the way the Friends of the Lopez Library supports the library.
Yeah, that's a good analogy, yeah.
And when the district was formed, then SWAP, we redid our bylaws to reflect that mission, mm-hmm. and a permanent set of bylaws was adopted, and a permanent board of directors was elected. At that point, I became a member of that board, along with Kate Scott and Glenn Maxson. And uh-huh. we are now the three directors of the nonprofit SWAP.
Uh-huh.
We are set up to be able to have five directors ultimately, and quite soon I think we will begin looking for
two more. And is SWAP a 501c3?
We are not yet.
We
are in the process. We're very close to finalizing our mm-hmm. application. We hope very much to be by the end of the year.
Uh-huh. Great. And for those of you who might not know, a 501c3 nonprofit can give donors a tax credit for their donation. And without it, then, of course, the SWAP's already actually generated quite a bit of money without that, too. I'd like to talk a little bit about that, because you've been very active before we even voted last November for the levy.
We have indeed. Lopez citizens have been so tremendously supportive that the fact that they couldn't necessarily deduct their contribution did not deter them
yes.
from opening their wallets and their hearts, and
right.
we truly appreciate that. And if there are folks out there who need to make a tax-deductible contribution, we can even now find a way to do that
yeah.
that is completely legal and above board.
Yeah.
But again, by the end of the year, we hope to be able to do that through our own organization.
Mm-hmm.
But just to give you an example, we were able to channel a little over $2,200 to the district in 2012. Those funds went to purchase startup equipment and mm-hmm. supplies that were needed, because you remember the district opened doors for business this January.
Yes.
And so we needed everything from, you know, stamps and envelopes and pencils to safety equipment, first aid equipment, and of course the computer equipment was the big part of that
yeah,
expense.
Sure. Yeah.
And so far in 2013, we have already given over $4,000 to the district, both in purchasing items for them, such as groundskeeping equipment and safety vests, that sort of thing,
mm-hmm.
and then simply writing them a check. You know, you remember that the levy that we passed was such a wonderful, wonderful margin.
Yes, only 80-some percent.
85%.
Yeah,
84.7, I think it was. Possibly the largest margin ever recorded here in San Juan County for a levy measure.
Mm-hmm.
That levy income only takes care of approximately a third of the district's costs.
Right.
And so we need to make that up. Well, of course, tipping fees and sale revenue from recyclable materials make up another big portion of that, but that's where SWAP steps in to come up with a lot. And so for this year, we have pledged to come up with a whopping $27,500. Yep. And in addition to that, the kind of unexpected expense of the $10,000 for the backhoe.
So, oh, I didn't know if that was in addition. Yeah.
Yeah, fundraising is a big, big part
of. So that's $37,000. Mm-hmm. Some of that backhoe money has been raised.
Yes, we are. I think we are just about at the $2,000 mark.
Yeah.
And we have, you know, our deadline is the end of 2013.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe later in the program you want to talk about that, but we have some exciting events coming up that are backhoe related.
Yeah, and okay. Yeah,
so
I do
we're
want
quite optimistic about that.
I do want. Well, we can talk about that right now.
Okay.
Here we are.
Here we
so
are.
So we're talking about the backhoe, and if you've ever been there, I mean, it gets used several times every day that the dump is opened. It's what makes it possible, actually, to compact the trash part, the garbage part of it, so that it can be hauled off. And it's used in other ways too, but that's the primary way it's used, several times during the day that the dump, while the dump is open. And you can see how essential it is as you see an overflowing container go down to one that's about half full with the backhoe.
That's exactly correct, Carol. And this particular backhoe, according to Neil and Bob, our wonderful dump personnel, is a very, very good one. And it actually was used formerly over on Orcas on the tipping floor and is now being used here. They like it very much because of that extender arm.
Yeah.
And, of course, it has an enclosed cab, which is lovely. For our weather, it has all rubber tires. I never thought I would be extolling the virtues
of a backhoe. There are so many things that I bet you never thought you'd have conversations about. That's certainly true for me.
But events to look forward to.
Yep.
We are going to be, SWAP will be hosting a backhoe naming contest for the young people of Lopez. Details to come on that.
Okay, we're going to do it through the school, or
no? Because I think we'll do it before school opens.
Oh, I see.
I think
it will be coming
summer.
Up soon.
Yes,
folks.
Because we're going to have a backhoe hoedown at the end of September with music and a chili feed and lots of excitement at the community center.
At the community
center.
Okay.
And we hope to reveal the name of the backhoe, which we will, of course, have the backhoe parked on site.
Yes, absolutely.
So at SWAP, we've gotten involved in many, many different activities for both fundraising and promotion, and we like to find ways to promote the wonderful job that the Solid Waste Disposal District is doing, promote our mission on Lopez of disposing of our waste responsibly, but we like to have fun while we're doing it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know you and I have talked about, and I won't go any further than just mention this, that you've had a vision for a while about having a dinner party at the dump.
Yes, exactly.
And we could do that.
We could do that. Dine at the dump.
Dine at the dump.
Yes,
and
yes.
A very nice, maybe the French Club or somebody could serve, and it could be a nice, lovely sit-down formal dinner.
Well, how many times have you heard, we all take our visitors up there, and they say, oh my goodness, this place is so clean, you could eat off the floor, and we can prove that is indeed true.
And we'll have pictures and say, yes, indeed, we did.
We did. Yes, we have parties at the dump.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So anything else that's in the works coming
up?
Well,
many things in the works. Of course, one of the most exciting events that we've played a part in is the Trash and Fashion Show.
Yeah.
We hosted the first Trash and Fashion Show last year in 2012 in August. This year's show, the second, will be on August 18th. We have entry forms available for those trashinistas out there who want to participate. And
you better show up early. I'll tell you, it was packed last year, and I can't imagine it won't be more so this year.
That's what we hope, and we had no idea what to expect last year, either in terms of those who wanted to participate on the runway. It is a runway fashion show, or the audience, and we were simply overwhelmed by the response on both counts. We had almost 30 participants on the runway.
Yeah, I was there, and I was one of those that were just amazed at the ingenuity and the how so many objects that came through the dump, both take it or leave it, and other parts of the dump, the mixed metal. There was a ton of stuff for mixed metal. I mean, every single category of things at the dump, including some garbage, were on that runway.
Attractively presented garbage,
very.
However, yes.
It was astonishing.
There were ensembles that were crafted out of everything from brown paper, wrapping paper, and newspaper to old pieces of garden hose that had been inadvertently run over by the lawnmower, to many, many different types of metal, to bird netting. I just to cat and dog food cans. And architectural plans. I think everyone will remember the amazing dresses made out of architectural plans. Feed bags. Yeah. So I just really can't wait to see what will appear this year.
I can't either.
But
and Carol, the competition's fierce.
The competition, the game is on.
Yes.
And both for team and individual entries.
Yeah.
And one thing we're going to do differently this year, Carol, is to hold a reception after the show so that everyone, both the participants and those in the audience, will be able to mill around and enjoy some refreshments and see this tremendous workmanship up close.
Oh, yeah, because there were several things I would have loved to have seen up close.
Yes. I hope we will be invited back to the library as well. We were able to show many of the creations at an exhibit at the library in the winter.
Yeah. No,
because the workmanship is just, it's over the top.
Yeah,
and
I agree.
The runway appearance itself is so brief that it's a shame not to be able to have time to really see.
Yeah, you can't really see the art, both the artistic and craftsmanship that goes into putting these together.
And of course, from our perspective, it's not only fun, but we raise money both from the gate. You know, the tickets are going to be $15 this year.
And they'll be sold in advance, I'm sure.
They will be definitely
really, I'm
sold
serious,
in
get a ticket.
Year. Particularly because there are going to be a lot of people in town that weekend. There's going to be the skateboarding.
Oh, that's the day after the skateboard.
Will be the day before. We will be on Sunday. And, of course, the other thing, though, the entire event just showcases in a fun way the concept of reuse and repurpose and recycle, which, of course, is our mantra.
Right. And it's not only fun, it's so artistically done. Mm-hmm. It almost takes my breath away as I'm really, buy your ticket early, because I've never seen anything like it. The artistry and the time and the vision that went into these displays. I mean, they're all worn. They're all clothing.
Yes, it's one of the rules. They must be wearable.
Yeah. And so they're all worn, but it's just amazing. Yeah, and I look forward to see the clinic team again and see what they come up with. I mean, really, there's so many aspects to that. How much money did that bring in last year?
We netted approximately $2,500, but the format was a bit different last year. We attempted to combine it with a silent auction, and as I said, we had no idea what to expect, and so we had a silent auction item set up along the perimeter of the room, and we thought people would come in and have some refreshment and cruise the silent auction offerings and eventually take a seat. Well, no, people came in and sat right down. So
right.
We're going to do an auction at another time, which will be in late October this year, and that's going to be fun too. A different type of auction.
Oh yeah, I look forward to that. I know I've heard some rumors. We won't give away anything right now. So this will be a show, a sit down, trash and show,
fashion show,
and. Then a reception afterward.
Exactly.
Right, at the same place. Mm-hmm. And that's...
Yes, and we'll, no doubt we will have some unusual donation buckets available
right.
should anyone feel interested in outing with a small donation.
Yeah, or large.
Or large. We do have a very large target this year, a large goal that we're aiming for.
Yeah, well, counting the backhoe, $37,000.
Exactly.
And you've raised two, so let's say $35,000 to go. And I know another activity that you're involved in this summer is you're at the market every week.
We are at the market, which gives us a wonderful chance not only to sell some retail items. We have T-shirts that we sell. Have you seen our newest?
No, I heard about it though. Did you bring it?
I did bring one.
Oh, good. Yeah, I heard it's inspired by.
This is our most recent design.
Yeah, I shop at Neal's Mall, Lopez Island, Washington. There it is.
And of course, in addition to the T-shirts, we also are still selling our 2012 junk bonds, which were as a piece of beautiful frameable artwork created by Kate Scott, our board member, but also well-known and tremendously creative and accomplished local artist.
Yeah.
Kate just did a wonderful job with this bond, and we continue to emphasize that it is redeemable for absolutely nothing and totally worthless and can be recycled. And again, I won't give away any secrets at this point, but we will be coming out with a 2013 junk bond with another very well-known and accomplished local Lopez artist. And I know everyone will be anxiously awaiting acquire the second in the series.
That's what I was just going to say. So now we can start a series and be collectors of junk bombs.
That's right.
Wow.
I hope your walls are large and blank. But also the market gives us a wonderful opportunity to distribute information about the dump. We pass out the brochures that describe the services and the hours. We sign up volunteers, of whom we always want and need more.
Yep.
We have displays, which a pie chart, for example, that shows the percentages of the different categories of recyclables and garbage that pass through our facility. We're about to update that to reflect the first 6 months of operation.
Yep.
We have one of the really delightful events we were involved with this year was an Earth Day fair that we put on in collaboration with the Lopez School. And that was wonderful because we were able to meet and talk with all of the students in the school. And subsequent to that, we've had a number of classes who have come and toured the facility, done some poster and artwork about the facility, and helped. You know, they have community service hours they need to get in, and this is a wonderful venue. So we're very excited about increasing that.
Right.
So we created some bookmarks specifically for the Earth Day event, which we've continued to print because they've been very popular, with hints about responsible waste management and how to be a good citizen here on Lopez in terms of taking care of our planet.
It's my understanding that this, I think the middle school is planning to come on a regular basis to school comes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's something I'm so happy about. I mean, you know, education is, as we submit our 501c3 application, mm-hmm. one of the missions that we talk about is education, because we are charged with promoting the concept of responsible waste management and doing it at the level of the school. It was really fun at the Earth Day Fair to see how excited the youngest students were. Yeah. We had special activities for them with junk band instruments to play with, made out of pots and pans and pieces of pipe similar to those you might have seen in the recent 4th of July parade that our wonderful board member Glenn Maxson and Kate Scott put together. And we had projects in which they could learn how to make a flower pot out of newspapers and then plant them with seedlings. So that sort of education, getting involvement at the young age, then they go home and talk up the activities. It's just, I think it's where the future lies.
Yeah.
I think this really, to succeed, this enterprise needs to be a full-on community involvement at all levels, at all age brackets.
Yep. No, absolutely.
It has to be embraced.
And one of the I guess, what shall I say, one of the consequences of meeting the goal of zero waste, and even if it's reduced so that we cut our waste so that it's 10% of what it was, say, last year or something, the facility itself, the solid waste facility where all this recycling takes place and take it or leave it is, and all the TVs now that are going through E. Washington, their recycling program now, which is really wonderful. Those are really heavy things filled with things that should never have gone into landfill, and that's where they were going, and now they're going to a very safe facility, and they're being taken apart, and some parts of them are being used, but they're being recycled in pieces, and the state is mandating the safety of those facilities. Mm-hmm. And all of those things that happen, and believe me, sometimes you should just go up to the dump, not because you need to bring garbage, but because you want a little personal tour. And up above, right, where we call it the kiosk, and that's where you pay your money, there's little areas where things are already collected. And then following through, you go down to the recycling and walk around down there. Watch for a while. I know you work there, because I see you every week. You come down and pick up our boxes.
I do, and not every week. I would like to. And when our board activity gets to be less intense, when we get finished with this application and achieve some stability, I guess I would say, I really look forward to getting back to once a week volunteering, because I particularly like volunteering up at recycling because I don't know how to describe it other than uplifting. And I know it probably sounds ridiculous to people who aren't personally involved, but everyone up there has a big smile on their face. And, you know, Lopez, we laugh at ourselves because we really like to separate things here on Lopez. And you can just see it up there. And people bring in this beautifully organized bins of their recyclables.
Yeah, they're flattened and it's
flattened,
just amazing.
And
it's
ironed practically.
Yeah, exactly.
And you can just see that people take pleasure in going around and putting things in the right bin. And now, part of the job of being a volunteer up there in recycling is that, you know, because there are so many different categories, it's really easy, even with the best of intentions, to put things in the wrong bin. And that may not seem very important. You might think, well, shoot, isn't plastic plastic or paper paper? Well, the answer evidently is no. From what Neil tells us, the way he coaches us, constant monitoring is really what makes the difference between a successful recycling operation and an unsuccessful one. And that comes down to whether you're getting the best possible financial return when you're selling those recyclables or not. And what makes that distinction is whether or not there's contamination, because certain plastics are used to go into certain other plastics, and certain papers are used to make other papers. And when you start mixing them up, the value just goes way down, and you risk whole loads just being dumped in the landfill. And boy, we really don't want to go to all of that effort to have that happen. So
yep.
when you're up there working as a volunteer, we help people figure out where to put things and how to prepare the materials, but we're also constantly walking back and forth. If people, folks out there, if you wonder what we're doing, constantly walking back and forth with our big pair of tongs or tweezers, it's we're making sure that the necked plastic bottle isn't in with the no-necked plastic tub, or that the green glass isn't in with the brown glass.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it really is fascinating to watch, folks. It's quite a piece of theater up there to watch. And there are people that come in that have no idea what's going on, and some of them are a little bit resistant to go to all that trouble, and so there is an educational component to that that I've overheard as I've been up there, and I'm sure you've run into it, that, I mean, there's not an option. Well, there is.
Well, there
so you
is
can
an
do
option.
The mixed recycle,
right.
Or I guess you could pay to put it in the dump.
But we wouldn't want that.
I know. That's
yeah, we wouldn't want that. But we do still accept commingled recycling.
Commingled,
but
yeah.
There is a charge of $5 a can. Although with every visit to the facility, everyone is allowed one carry bag, like a grocery bag full, yeah. at no charge, because there are some items. You know, it's because they end up at different destinations, different facilities, but there are some items that can be taken as recyclables and commingled, such as milk cartons and the like, that we cannot yet take separately.
Right, right.
But what's uplifting is seeing everyone coming in with such enthusiasm,
right.
and it's just really delightful to
yeah.
see.
No, it is. And there's definitely some ownership there as well. There should be, because last November, Lopez, as we started the program, Lopez voters, citizens, voted 84.7% to tax themselves $100,000 a year. And that's a levy that has to, right now anyway, it has to be voted on every year.
Correct. And I'm not the expert in these matters, or even the first word in these matters, much less the last. My understanding of the situation is that the way these disposal districts, of which I believe there are three only in the state, are sanctioned under the state constitutional law, you can go to the public for a levy, but you have to go every single year, unlike many other types of taxing
yeah.
districts. In changing that, from what has so far been learned, is not simply a question of a state legislative change. It requires more than that.
Yeah,
possibly. But I believe that the board members on the management board are looking at that very, very closely, because we definitely need to find a way to engage in a multi-year
tax
levy, so we don't need to do this every year.
Yeah, but it will be coming up in November.
Mm-hmm.
And a whole piece of the excitement about recycling, the excitement about take it or leave it, the excitement about being our own solid waste district, the excitement about having a whole group of volunteers who are an essential part of the business plan. What it means is the less garbage that we generate, which is the mission, is to decrease potentially, who knows, to zero. And yet garbage is what the dumping fees for garbage is what pays the bills.
It's true, Carol, and it's our island conundrum.
Yeah.
Has been from the beginning. It's one of the difficulties that the county experienced when they were running all of the solid waste operations in the different islands. For whatever reason, the only solution that they seemed to see was to keep raising and raising and raising the rates, and that certainly didn't work either. On this island, the populace has over and over again expressed the desire to work toward a zero waste goal. Mm-hmm. I think virtually no one achieves that, but to work toward it.
Right.
The more we reach it, and we do seem to be moving in that direction,
yep.
the more we have to find ways to make up that revenue elsewhere, because it costs money to carry out these operations. Even if ultimately you're only a recycling operation, you need the truck.
Right. You need the personnel.
You need the...
Yeah. And it is very costly for the islands because you're paying, as all of you know, for the time in the ferry. And most of our markets are all the way down in Seattle. We have a couple at Skagit and I think one in Bellingham. But most of them are all the way down in Seattle. And the markets change all the time, too, in terms of what they pay and where they are.
Right. And that's one of the reasons that Neil is so valuable, because of his years and years and years of experience handling these matters and in researching these matters, mm-hmm. because the markets for these recyclables are shifting constantly, yep. like commodities markets are yeah. continually shifting.
Yeah.
And someone needs to be on top of who's taking what and at what price, and not just anyone. I mean, I think the other part of the formula on Lopez is to make sure that we are selling to responsible markets. You know, we want things to be used responsibly. If there's a choice between something being transported a short distance versus a long distance,
yeah.
or a clean fuel method versus a non-clean fuel method.
Yep.
We want to make the right choices. But as in everything else with life, we have to figure out how to pay for those
yep.
right choices.
Absolutely.
So that makes our job at SWAP as currently the organization that steps in to bridge that funding
yep.
gap. You know, it's
absolutely.
Something we're very aware of. How do we, you know, if the levy stayed at the same rate, our targets in fundraising would need to go up from 27,000 to 37,000 and more.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we can do that as a community.
Yeah.
It just needs
yeah.
to be a community conversation.
Exactly, and that's what you were talking about. This, and we have a good beginning because, as you say, there is pride when people come to the dump. There is a sense of, clearly a sense of ownership, and isn't this a great thing we've done here?
Mm-hmm.
And when, in fact, the path was well worn. We now have a different business plan, which involves volunteers, which changes some of the ways in which the dump necessarily has to operate. And one of them is those changing flows of the recycled materials that are, and it's hard for volunteers, but it's also hard for you folks who are bringing things in to know what are you taking and what aren't you, and there is no final definitive answer to that because it's constantly changing. We just got, we're accepting printers now, working and non-working, because they can be included in the e-waste program to go with the televisions. And that's kind of a special deal that Paige managed because we're such a small district that we're going to generate such a small amount that they're willing, they're not going to pay us for them, but they're willing for us to throw them on the same load. So there's no cost for transportation or anything to get them down there.
And they go to a responsible organization.
Absolutely.
And that's something else.
Absolutely.
That's an important part. That makes me think, Carol, that we should remind the listeners that a good place to check to see if anything has changed in what we are taking in the way of goods for recycling is our website, which
Absolutely.
The website is one that is shared between the Lopez Solid Waste Disposal District and SWAT. We're one big family in
yep.
terms of the website.
Yeah.
And you can go there. There's a recycling tab, and you can download the current guide, which Neil wrote, which talks about all the different categories and how they should be prepared. But in addition to that, when there's breaking news, such as new instructions about how we accept shredded paper, or the fact we haven't yet put that up. I'm glad you reminded me about the printers, the beginning of the e-waste program. That sort of thing. We will put a special bulletin on the homepage as well as on the recycling page. It's also a good idea to subscribe to the subscription email news service. It's associated with the website, because we will also send the bulletins out that way.
Right.
And we have promised people, and we really have, I think, been quite faithful, that we don't just bombard you with things you don't want to hear about. I mean, I might sneak in a little plug announcement for the upcoming Trash and Fashion show, so you can be sure you get your entry form, your ticket. But for the most part, we try and keep it short and to the point, and make it a useful service.
Yeah. So I haven't even subscribed to that yet. That's a really good reminder for me. And full disclosure, I'm the volunteer, and this is Carol Stackler. And it'd probably be good to do a station ID about now, too. KLOILP, that means low power, or 18-watt community radio station. KLOILP, Lopez Island, Washington, 102.9 FM, here with Sarah Eppenbach, who is a board member and board chair, actually, of the nonprofit that is now the supporting entity for the Lopez Solid Waste District, and they're called SWAP, the Solid Waste Alternative Program. Is that correct?
That's correct. Alternatives, plural.
Alternatives. Plural. Good point.
It's a mouthful.
Yeah. Well, that's good. That's a good program. So, and we're talking again. We're talking trash here today. It's Thursday morning, almost coming up on noon, and we're talking trash about the Lopez Solid Waste Facility. And if you ever have any questions during our program, you can actually call in. Al is here. He can answer the phone, and it's 468-3656, and we do accept phone call questions. I don't know that we'll put you on the air, because I don't know how to do that yet, but we'll take your question and see what we can generate as an answer. So we've been talking about all aspects of solid waste. As when we started, we were talking about a backhoe, and Sarah, you mentioned I had never in my life did I think I'd be extolling the virtues of a backhoe, and never in my life did I think that 1 hour every week I would delve into both the mysteries and the magic of recycling and garbage. And it is. It's an incredibly interesting subject.
It is. I think I'll write that line down. I'm sure we can use that in some of our promotional materials, the mysteries and the magic. One of the very interesting exercises we went through for this Earth Day event with the school was to create a storyboard, and Sheila Metcalf and Patty Ward, two other wonderful creative artists on this island, stepped up and volunteered to actually create the storyboard. But we wanted to be able to show the students what happens to stuff when it leaves Lopez. You know, most people's vision ends when they leave the facility there at the dump. And many of us didn't know the answer until we decided to make up the storyboard. And really, it's quite fascinating, because the answer is everywhere.
Things
go everywhere. The garbage, the trash, gets hauled off the island in our wonderful truck, and it gets taken over to Skagit County, to Mount Vernon, to the county facility there, and ultimately it joins a train with a lot of other trash, travels across the state down to the enormous Roosevelt landfill, which is almost on the border between Washington and Oregon, to the Columbia River Basin. Myself, when I'm at home and about to put something in the trash, I'm embarrassed how much trash Larry and I still take to the dump, but we're trying hard to cut that down. I ask myself, do I really want this item to travel not only off this island but to the mainland and all the way across the state? never mind the fact that it is then going to end up in a landfill, but just that incredible distance. So that's a question I think is good for everyone to ask.
Yeah.
So that's what happens to the trash. The recyclables also go first, for the most part, to Skagit County. They go to Burlington, to a big facility there, a purveyor of recyclable materials. Mm-hmm. And from there, everything goes every which way. The steel gets taken down to Seattle to a foundry where it gets made into rebar, for example, other things like that. The paper products go to a couple different places, the mills at Port Angeles and Port Townsend, where they get made into other paper products, such as more cardboard and the kind of pulp paper that goes into telephone directories. Mm-hmm. The aluminum cans, this was amazing to me. I had no idea. Aluminum cans go from Burlington to Seattle. Then they get on a train and they go to either Tennessee or Alabama.
Wow.
To great big plants where they are made into more aluminum cans. And that evidently is a particularly efficient process. So you can feel good about recycling your aluminum can,
yeah.
Knowing that it's
yeah, it takes a very small percentage of the energy to recycle a can than to make aluminum from scratch,
exactly,
so to speak.
Exactly. The plastics and the mixed paper go to China at this point, and no doubt come back in another form to us. So it was very interesting seeing this map with these route lines going every which way, and I hope we can get that map. You know, it's in a very large, fragile format right now, but I really want to get it reproduced in a small format that we can have up at the facility and also at our market booth.
Yeah.
It's very interesting for people to see.
Well, it is. I mean, because, it's only the beginning of the story when whatever method you use for your own containers at home and you start putting them in there, then you take it to the dump, and then that's the last we actually see of it. And the story has barely begun then.
That's right. That's true.
Someone's got to write a book, a children's book or something about following all this and where it goes and what it becomes. I think that would be fascinating.
Yeah, that might be a good project for us to introduce to the schools this year. You know,
that could
really
be really
that,
fascinating.
That type of education and promotion is a large part of our mandate. We'd like that to become an ever larger part, both for, and also on the website. I mean, we have lots of plans for developing that.
Right.
And I want to say here thank you to Ann Palmer, who is our web mistress of the site. But we would like to get some of our recycling tips up there,
mm-hmm.
our tips on how to live with a smaller footprint.
Mm-hmm.
We'd like to have a page that really highlights our volunteers, talks
mm-hmm.
about some of our faithful volunteers and our families who volunteer.
Yeah.
Particularly,
yeah.
we have whole families who are down there, as you well know, as a coordinator. So we'd like to be able to have some volunteer profiles.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I've kind of stuck on this whole book idea because I've been involved as a nonprofit in the past with a group from the University of Washington. They were in nurses graduate school that were volunteering to fulfill some of their graduation requirements. And they ended up marketing, actually, a book based on their experience there with around infants and mothers and children. And it was a book for young children. And it just seems like that's a project that's just calling out to be done, and using the kids at the school to follow a pop can, follow a book, follow, you know, choose really specific things.
Absolutely.
And follow them, and even the kids could go, you know, we could figure all that out and come up with a book.
And there's so much to be learned along the way.
I know there is, and there's so much to be taught along the way,
mm-hmm.
you know, the journey of trash.
Well, yes, the story of trash, and again, it harkened back to the Earth Day event. Glenn Maxon, as part of that affair, set up some videos that played, and some of those are called The Story of Trash, The Story of Plastic Water Bottles. We made up a big exhibit just about plastic water bottles. Glenn made up what we call a snowman, which is, you know, many, many plastic water bottles. And then we talked about how much it costs, in every sense, how much it costs for people to be drinking water out of those non-reusable, you know, they are sold as non-reusable bottles of water. Well, we passed out reusable water bottles to the students at the school that day.
Boy, there's so many little threads that just take following. If you're interested at all, please come on down to the dump, take a look, see where you might fit in. Watch what's going on. It's bring your guests. People are fascinated. I have worked there recently a bit, and so often people are coming in the summer, particularly with their little things. Usually it's not very many, and they say, "Where do I pay for this?" And other people say, "This is amazing. I can hardly." We had two graduate students going from Berkeley to Massachusetts who were getting their degree in public health, a master's degree in public health, and they were there for over an hour and talking with different people, and they were young people. They were like, I don't know, maybe 30, and just amazed. People are amazed at the story of trash and the story of Lopez Trash and Lopez's recycling programs.
That's right. Over and over again, you hear, well, this is so amazing. How do you do it with such a small island? And we always say, with everyone. Everyone being involved, everyone taking responsibility, everyone playing a part. And that's how we do it.
Yep, it's true. And there's such pride in it. I mean, I take a lot of pride in it myself. And always had. When we went to co-mingling, I was all set up to separate. So I just kept doing what I was doing, and then we'd take it down there and put it all in the same place. But I never changed what I was doing because it was too much trouble, for heaven's sakes. Who has a container big enough to co-mingle everything? I mean, if you're really recycling, and it's just a way of life.
It is. And that's something else we'd like to do a segment on our website or in another venue, is looking at different systems that people have set up in their homes in order to accommodate their separated recycling. Because when people hear that you have something to do with the dump, they will drag you down to the basement or out to the garage to show you their system. And there are some wonderful ones.
Yeah, they're pretty elaborate. Yeah. And we're fortunate enough that we host interns, most of which are college students, not all, but most, from all over the United States and from other parts of the world, that live with us for 6 to 8 weeks and longer. And most of them have had little exposure to recycling. And I mean, these are bright college students, and it really takes quite an effort for them to understand the importance of washing out till you only have clear water every container that you put in there, no matter how long it takes, or put it in the dishwasher, or it's got to be clean. And I'm constantly astonished at how, I don't think there's any resistance. I just think it's such a new idea and
a new concept
that taking that little bit of responsibility, which seems like hardly anything to me, but I can tell it seems like a whole new world to people who've not been exposed to it. Because you have to rinse out everything, folks.
Yes, absolutely. It does need to be clean. I think three items come to mind that we see over and over again that have not been adequately cleaned. Here's something, again, I never imagined I'd be sitting here talking on a radio program about washing out your peanut butter jar and how to do it. It takes soap.
Yes.
And it takes a scrub brush. There is no getting around it.
Yes.
And your mayonnaise jar, same thing. It does not, you know, one of the things we absolutely cannot have are liquids. And when people bring in an oil container with liquid in the bottom, it oozes out over everything. We end up just having to throw those things in the trash because we often don't see them until after the person who has brought them is gone. And that costs us all money.
Yeah.
And that's true with the take it or leave it also.
Yeah,
that's why the pre-screening is going on. Item number three, tomato sauce, spaghetti sauce jars.
Ketchup.
Ketchup.
Mustard.
Those
are hard to get out of there.
It does take an extra 30 seconds, but it really is important in terms of our return. And so everyone benefits by you taking an extra 30 seconds to scrub your peanut butter jar.
Absolutely. And who thought that the radio would be so excited as well, how to wash peanut butter jars.
Right.
But it's an essential human activity. We created it. We must follow it to its ultimate destination. And hopefully, it's not to a landfill. We will run out of landfills certainly your lifetime. I'm 71, might not be in my lifetime, but it could be because we are generating so much trash. Well, it's been lovely, Sarah, talking with you again, talking trash here, learning about SWAP, the Solid Waste Alternatives Program. That is the nonprofit organization, soon, hopefully, by next year, to be a 501c3. But right now, they have several projects going on to raise money to support the activities that, not just the activities, but the essential expenses that are generated by our solid waste facility.
I've enjoyed it very much, Carol. Always enjoy talking trash here on Lopez and really encourage everyone to come up, get involved. And there are many, many different ways to get involved, not only as a volunteer at the dump, but gosh, all of these activities SWAP is putting on and the farmers market. We can use lots of help and we have a good time.
Yep, and there's a place for you. I can guarantee you that. There will be a place for you that fits perfectly.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you. And I just want to quickly say that I'm really disappointed that the interview with Bruce Krebs last week did not get recorded accurately. Operator error. I would be the operator. I'm going to re-record that and we'll be on. But please, this will be replayed again, and tell your family and friends on Saturday at noon. And then it'll be archived at our website, kloi.org, and go to archive materials. Then it's called Talkin' Trash. And the first interview, this will be our third interview. Only two of them are on there, but the third one will be soon. And next week, we're going to have some volunteers in, a couple of them. And they're going to talk about what it's like to be, we'll get someone who's in recycling and a couple people from Take It or Leave It. So I'm going to go out with a little bit of music here. If I can do that, see what happens when I turn this on. There we are, talking trash.
Mr. Thompson calls the waiter, orders steak and baked potato. He leaves the bone and gristle, and he never eats the skin. The busboy comes and takes it, with a cough contaminates it. He puts it in a can with coffee grounds and sardine tins. And the truck comes by on Friday, carts it all away. 1,000 trucks just like it are converging on the bay. Oh, garbage, 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 garbage. We're filling up the seas with garbage.
And this is KLOILP, Lopez Island, Washington, 102.9 FM. Talking Trash, signing off.
Mr. Thompson starts his Cadillac and winds it down the freeway track, leaving friends and neighbors in a hydrocarbon haze. He's joined by lots of smaller cars, all sending gases to the stars, there to form a seething cloud that hangs for 30 days. And the sun licks down into it with an ultraviolet tongue, turns it into smog, and then it settles in our lungs. Oh, garbage,
garbage, garbage,
garbage.